Together today to work on some naturopathic bills, and I'm going to ask my staff to introduce Senate Bill 162.
Chair Fisher, members of the committee, Senate Bill 162 requires the licensees of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners to have graduated from an accredited naturopathic school or college. It also modifies requirements for the license renewal and increases the number of continuing education hours required for licensees.
I would call Gregory Garcia, MD, forward. Welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead with your testimony.
My name is Dr. Gregory Garcia. I'm the current chair of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, a position I've been elected to by the board for about the last year and a half. I'm presently in my third year of being on the board completely. The Senate Bill 162, I think I refer to it as housekeeping primarily. One of the things that we wanted to sort of update the law is that we no longer approve naturopathic medical schools. This is done by either a national agency or the Northwest region. So we just wanted to change it from approved to accredited, and I think that's still our standard. We're not lowering any standards as far as applicants or licensees. I apologize for not having written testimony, but if you do need that, I'm happy to supply that to you after the committee meeting.
Okay. Explain a little bit here that I see there's a change in some of the retired status type.
The bulk of the changes here are in the continuing education. That over the history, I would say the last few years, there's a number of concerns or misunderstandings about what's approved for continuing education. So we tried to simplify that and went through a process involving our members over the last at least year or 2 years actually, and now we're ready to present that to you for consideration. There's no increase in the continuing education numbers. I think you're seeing at one point going from 20 hours to 25 hours. The statute was a little confusing. We've always required 20 hours plus an additional 5 hours in pharmacology, which is basically to keep our licensees up to date on prescribing what we call legend drugs. So we just wanted to have a statute sort of, it's always been 25 hours. We just simply wanted to reflect the true number of hours that they need per year.
Well, I recognize we worked on those issues here before.
Yeah.
Of the legend drugs, and some of my committee members may not have had that experience, but those of us that have been around human resource issues for a few years remember some of those efforts. I just wanted to make sure that I understood, and at least we put some of this on the record for whatever the record is good in the hearings process.
That's right. I think the last part of Senate Bill 162 is simply we don't refer to my position as president. We refer to it as a chair. So we simply want the statute essentially to reflect what's been the current policy for a number of years now.
Okay. Any of the committee have any questions of Dr. Garcia? Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 162?
We may have.
I will be in recess for you to
have a conference.
I'm to, for the record, I'm in.
Oh, okay, we'll go. Okay. I got a recess in there.
I
thought you wanted to talk to Dr. Garcia.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
We were going to propose these amendments to Section 2 or Section 3
to Section
this 3. Time.
Okay.
And then because we gave them a copy, they can use it.
Okay.
This is it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So on Section 3, which is the part pertaining to Senate Bill 162, we want to amend the bill with a few changes. One of them is here under subsection 2. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You should all have a copy that shows us right through with the text that we would like to amend. And underlined and bolded the text that the board would like to add in its place. These amendments to the statute are not substantive. They're only to make it an easier read for the licensees and for those who look at our statute to understand what the renewal process is and the renewal responsibility of the licensees.
Okay, we just received these, and they're in the great form of plus and minus, which doesn't line up with the way we work on the
right.
bills here. So excuse us
just
if we take a moment or two to kind of...
Yeah, I took a copy of the Legislative Council's revisions, and to them in Section 3, you'll see at the bottom of it's that document I just gave you, page 2. You'll see where there's strike-throughs and then bolded and underlined text. And those are the changes the board is at this time recommending.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we would have to get these drafted through Legislative Council if this is something you want to proceed on.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Carno.
On the, let's see, it says 3-5, page 3-5, it says on sub 4, a license which has lapsed for more than 1 month may be restored by the board upon payment of a restoration fee set by the board. Is that something you've already set? Is that something already in place?
In administrative rule, there is a late fee that's currently charged and a restoration fee for licenses.
And that restoration fee wouldn't change. It'd be the same.
Right.
Okay. Marjorie, could you arrange to have these amendments?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I can certainly do that for you, and we'll run them by the board and any other interested parties just to make sure that they're correct before we bring it back.
That would be great.
The big change here, I'm on page 3 of the 5 pages, is that if someone did not turn in their license material by the end of the year, which is by statute, their license would be revoked. And so we wanted to really, you know, revoke. We sometimes would do by cause in executive session if someone has really gone against public safety. We just wanted to have it be lapsed and not make it be such a significant effect on someone's career or practice. So I'm trying to keep this under the sense of a housekeeping and to make it reflect for licensees what will happen if they do miss deadlines.
Mr. Chair, yes. I just want to thank these good folks for coming forward. I realize my Oregon State bar dues are due on January 31st, and I know my check is still sitting at home on my desk, so thank you for reminding me.
You mean your check isn't in the mail?
No, I'm going to have to drop it off.
Car license is due, too.
Car license is due?
Yeah, for renewal from the license.
Well, you better get it in there.
State senator.
Okay. Is there anyone that wish to give further testimony from the audience? Since we had the sign-up sheet out here, it may not have been available. Okay, we'll revisit this when we have the amendments drafted, and staff will work with you folks to make sure that they get drafted in the manner that is what you intended. And sometimes that takes a little
really
guidance.
Funny.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 162 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 163. And do we have a... Yes, we have the same gentleman here. We'll allow you to reserve your seat and not go and come.
Okay.
I'll have staff introduce them.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 163 modifies the disciplinary authority of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just want to reassure you there are no amendments to this bill that we have, so you're looking at it as is. We wanted to do two small changes to this. One of them is to issue a letter of reprimand, which is a type of discipline that by our statute up to this point has not allowed us to do. So we wanted to have greater flexibility in terms of what we can do. And then the other change here is that our public member is an attorney, or our attorney general that comes to our meetings. We want to have more flexibility to also impose a civil fine. And the way the statute currently reads, it's either one, you could do like a probation or whatever, but you cannot do a civil penalty in addition to that. And when we come upon situations where it's the same mistake repeated over, more than one incident, we felt that we wanted to sort of ratchet up our the intent of the board with the particular licensee.
Any questions by committee members? It's interesting. I read that statement, and again, not being a person trained in the legal arena, it would have seemed to me that your only reason for being would be able to write letters of reprimand. I mean, how much simpler can you make a punishment than a letter of reprimand?
Yeah, and I believe
thing.
That other...
I would have not have thought that it would have had to be specifically listed in. I'm going to enjoy. I haven't had the privilege of having an attorney on my committee for a long period of time.
As long as you
we may shamelessly put you on the spot from time to time, Senator Brown, for all this good help. And
I'll see what I can do. I'm not sure I'll be of any help.
That's all we can ask.
Yep. Mr. Chair, my understanding is a letter of reprimand is something that other health-related boards have as part of their disciplinary procedures.
Yeah, I would think it would probably be one of the first things you'd want to use. Certainly advantageous to have some ability to do something like that rather than just start snatching a license.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that wishes to give further testimony on Senate Bill 163? Seeing none, I would close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 163.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move Senate Bill 163 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Are we going to continue our tomfoolery with this consent? business or
oh
I don't have any personal objections. I don't see anyone here that rising to see any reason to spend a lot of time in discussion on the floor.
I would suggest that we do put it on the consent calendar.
I'll take that as a friendly amendment to my motion
with the backup of Senator Brown.
Okay, if we just include that, that would be fine with the chair here. Senator Brown has moved that we send Senate Bill 163 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be included in the consent calendar. Is there any discussion or dissent? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Brown.
Aye.
Senator Jenny Burdick.
Senator
Ben
Clarno.
Aye.
Senator Charles Starr.
Aye.
Senator Bill Morrison.
Aye.
Senator
Aye. We need a carrier. Is there anyone that wishes to hit the ground running?
I'll do it.
Senator Brown will be the carrier.
It does make the carrier's job much easier if no one can ask questions, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Brown. And the Motion carries, and Senate Bill 163 will be on its way to the Senate floor. Now, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 163 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 164, I think. That's 164. And again, we have Dr. Garcia to testify, and go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And also, there are amendments to this either, Senate Bill 164.
Yeah, those amendments, I take it, are not printed either.
No, there are none. I just want to reassure you with that. The only change we wanted to make to this part of our statute is to be able to raise the number of board members from 5, which it has been since, I believe, the board's inception in the 1920s, to 7. The discussion and the reason why we wanted to increase the number, this would include one more licensed naturopathic physician and one more public member. Currently, there's 4 licensed naturopathic physicians and a public member, so we just wanted to add one more of each to our board, is that the number of licensees practicing in the state has been increasing considerably. If you follow just in terms of the college in Portland, their graduation rates on an annual basis is approaching roughly 80 to 120, something like that, per year. So I believe that we're going to go over 600 licensees in the state. These are voluntary positions, and if there's a complaint, we have to investigate these. I have spent sometimes up to 6 hours looking at files and this and that with one particular complaint. So we felt that we could better represent and make sure we stay timely in protecting the public or addressing issues, having another member and another public member on our board.
I would call Lori Marzell, Dr. Lori Marzell, I believe it is. Go ahead.
I'm Dr. Lori Marzell. I'm the Vice President of Naturopathic Medical Education Institute and a former board member. And our group would like to amend this bill. We're introducing a few concepts that, since they are in the same part of the statute, we thought it would be time effective to just amend this bill. They're basically housekeeping changes as well. And the first one is 685.160, number 2B, where it says 4 members, which the board is trying to change to 5, shall be naturopaths who have each practiced continuously in this state for 5 years. We would like to insert full time and perhaps, comma, a minimum of 30 hours. We feel that the legislative intent was that board members should have 5 years of full time experience before they're serving on the board, and we just feel that that clarifies things a little bit more. Excuse me. The second change that we were proposing is 685.160 in regards to appointment of a board of naturopathic examiners. After the successors are appointed and qualified, we would like to insert the sentence, no board member shall serve more than 2 terms. This is just standard for most boards, the medical board, the pharmacy board, the psychology board, the nursing board, all have term limits of 2 terms of 3 years each. And so we just want to update our board.
And your terms of board membership are 3 years?
Yes.
May I?
Yes, Senator Morissette.
Thank you. I take it these are friendly amendments? Because you said there were no amendments to start with, and now there are amendments.
Yes, these are not amendments that have been discussed at the Board of Naturopathic Examiners or really were aware of until just in the last 24 hours or so.
Are they friendly amendments?
I would say as far as the term limits go, that as far as my understanding of the length for board members, I'm not aware of any board members who've served more than 6 years or two terms. So I'm not sure that that's really a concern that I would carry as chair of the board. We try and get members that have different areas of expertise, including obstetrics. I'm also a licensed acupuncturist. So it helps the board, I think. We have one member who's in Eastern Oregon. I think one of our concerns, if we add another member, is to have them come from another part of the state as well, perhaps Southern Oregon, just to really be able to be clear with our communications with members and understand what their concerns are. The question about full-time practice or making that kind of specificity, I feel, will limit our ability to select the most appropriate members. I happen to be a professor full-time at the school. I'm not sure if under this amendment that I would be qualified to stay as chair. I think the fact of my experience with education and such, I think it's an asset to the board to have that. So I would really support having as much flexibility as we can in selecting the best members for the board.
I would have a question on that myself. I'm sorry, Senator Brown, go ahead.
Yeah, I just kind of like to follow up on that same point. I guess my concern is,
while we're doing this, for some reason or another, I get concentrating on what somebody's saying, and my peripheral vision isn't very good, so if you just say Mr. Chair or something to that effect, I'd be glad to acknowledge. You'd rather just hold your hand up forever until your arm gets tired.
Oh, not me. You know me better than that.
Anyway, I guess my concern is full-time might limit people who've taken time off to have families, and it might have a discriminatory impact on people who now are currently eligible to serve on the board.
Can I answer that? Well, we really feel that the board function to make decisions and address issues that occur during medical practice, the statute, we feel like the legislative intent of this part of the statute, it is very clear that you have to practice continuously for 5 years, because it is so important to have that experience in using that to judge what is going on and to have that experience. And a person who does not have practice with patients can't understand the issues. We feel that's very important. Understand the importance of people taking time off
for working part-time while they're raising a family.
Right. I understand that. But if they're going to serve on the Board of Examiners, I think 5 years of working full-time in your profession is not an unreasonable requirement.
What kind of documentation would you require to prove that you'd been doing this? I mean, you're talking about 30 hours. You're getting down to the point where there could be a question whether somebody put 29 hours and 59 minutes a week, or...
I wasn't really thinking of documentation. I just did.
Well, I question that. What problems have you had in times past that would be bringing you to do this? If there must be some reason here. Have you had problems with the board being stuffed with people that have only worked part time, or
no support in drafting of these amendments?
I think that it's just the amount of experience. Sometimes I think that the board members do lack experience in that one would have obtained in full-time practice to judge the issues. There's a lot of important issues that come up to the board. Use of appropriate antibiotics. We had experiences where board members are unfamiliar with common antibiotics for use for urinary tract infection, for instance. Things like that would be obtained if they were in full-time medical practice.
Well, that just depends. There's different forms of practice. People may wish to limit their practice. Mm-hmm. From my understanding of working with the drugs issue with the naturopathic groups in times prior, that not everybody has been trained to do that, or not everybody is involved in that. But that wouldn't necessarily, to my way, alter their board judgment. Certainly as elected official, I'm sitting here dealing with naturopathic things, and I have absolutely no experience as a naturopath, and yet I'm considered to be competent to make some decisions here about the way that you operate your board, and I certainly would not think unless you can bring me some real concrete evidence where there's been some malfeasance on the board or something like that caused by a lack of this. That's why we have several board persons, and they're in the process of increasing the board, which should again expand the experiences and things that you would enjoy with availability to the board. You would be interested if you have specific instances where the board has made mistakes because the majority of the board doesn't work full time or something like this. I could be concerned, but the minute you start putting these limiting factors on, you then make it considerably less feasible for a board to operate because you put the load on far less available bodies than you do with a little more open opportunity to serve. I know I went on a professional board within a year of the time that I basically had started working in the profession, and I don't believe that I didn't carry my weight on that situation.
Well, the Naturopathic Board of Examiners has to judge the appropriateness of licensing exam questions. They have to judge the appropriateness of the curriculum of the school. They have to judge the appropriateness of drugs that are introduced through the formulary council. One of them serves as a formulary council member. All these things require experience in practicing medicine.
Ma'am, I understand that, but you're not bringing me specifics of any problems that's been had, and I've had absolutely no complaints.
Mr. Chair.
About the judgments of the, and I'm trying to say why would you wish to limit this unless you can bring me specifics as to how this has affected the board. Yes, Senator Brown.
Just to follow up on your point, the sentence reads, who have each practiced continually in the state for 5 years immediately prior to the date of the appointment. So as I read that sentence, I don't know what the legislative intent was, but clearly their goal was to have people who had been in the state, not necessarily people who had extensive experience, because this sentence would limit someone who has 35 years experience in the state of California and moves here and is here for, you know, four years and 6 months. So you would have to appoint someone under this statute, someone who has 5 years experience as opposed to someone who has 35 years of experience because they hadn't resided continuously in the state. So I think the real focus of the statute is, you know, living in the state prior to the appointment and practicing in the state prior to the appointment.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, the reason for that is the laws in the state of Oregon are different from other states that naturopathic physicians practice in. And so to be familiar with our state and the laws and practicing under those laws is very important. Also, the fact that the law states now that they must be in continuous practice emphasizes the importance of that experience. So if someone had taken off 6 months to have a child, they would not be eligible to serve on the Board of Examiners.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
if they'd work part-time, though, they would be eligible.
Yeah, if they worked continuously right now.
But you're asking that it go to full-time.
Yeah.
So... I guess a question for the staff, Mr. Chair, and that is, isn't the accreditation of licensing of naturopathic colleges and schools done at a national level, or is that all done on a state-by-state basis?
I can answer that question, Senator Brown. The accrediting process is done by a national agency. The National College of Naturopathic Medicine, Portland, has more than one degree program.
Okay.
So the naturopathic program is looked at by the Council for Naturopathic Medical Education, and then the accreditation standards of the school are based on what all the regional colleges and universities in the Northwest go through, which is the Northwest Association of Schools and Colleges, and NCNM is presently a candidate for that accreditation in that accreditation process.
May I say something on that? The Board of Examiners is the final determining agency whether that person will be accepted for licensure. So the onus is on the Board of Examiners, not the national accrediting agencies.
Well, I think we're all aware of that. That's not exactly what you're board is there for, and certainly wouldn't be any doing its duty if they didn't. You've got this NMEI organization. What is that?
It's an organization that provides continuing education and is politically active by attending board meetings and reviewing legislative issues.
Who does that consist of?
We have about 15 members and about four officers.
Of naturopaths?
Mm-hmm. Yes, just naturopathic physicians.
15, and you have how many in the state?
You would know more than I do.
I believe at the present time we have licensed 585 naturopaths in the state of Oregon.
Do you have other organizations in
there? There's a state association. That's the Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians, which is, I would say, the majority of the licensed naturopaths, if they're members, that would be their association.
Do you have any estimate of the members there?
I'm sorry, I don't. Couldn't tell you. I'm sure it's more than 15.
I can also state that I spoke to representatives of the state association in regards to these amendments and was able to speak to two officers. I requested that they poll their officers to give me an opinion from the state association, and neither the officers that I spoke to had any problems, thought it was a good idea as well.
Okay. Well, obviously, if we're going to consider some amendments, they're going to have to be drawn up, and we'll have to visit this at a later date. I, myself, can say offhand that I'm not looking very much in favor of doing this full-time bit myself. Not sure whether I should just let you draw the amendments up and have you bring them back and take it to the full committee, or whether the full committee might want to give you some directions right now in a process of whether the amendments are drafted up.
I'd like
to start.
I would like to support their drafting or have our committee staff see that those are drafted. I would like further discussion and further input.
Okay, well, I, if we're going to draft them up, I would also work, call this back for another public hearing, and would wish to have a greater input across the cross-section of naturopathic physicians to find out just exactly how necessary this was and so forth, because to me... And I do understand, I want to make this statement because I want to be corrected if I am wrong in my thinking. I believe that there is a little less standardization over the national scope or the international scope of naturopathy than there is over, for instance, an MD or a doctor of osteopathy. I think there's some, it seems like in the times past when we've been working on some of the issues with the school and other problems that we've had in the past, that we find that there's not quite the same, how should I put it, training requirements and things like that in different schools, so that they would not be maybe quite so able to have reciprocity from one state to another as there would be in an MD and OD or DO type situation. So from that standpoint, I do see the possible limiting of it to the 5 years of practice here within the state, because that our requirements might be greater and it might not be just like a orthopedic physician coming from California to Oregon or Washington or something like that. So from that standpoint, I can understand that. I think I do have a hard time, though, to saying that just because somebody chooses to work half days a week and maybe as yourself as an acupuncturist, you wanted to work half days as a naturopathic physician, half days as an acupuncturist, and then you would be denied the opportunity to have input on the board. I think that there's a question on that.
I'm sorry.
Senator Fong.
Yeah, I guess I would have trouble with the full-time thing, too, because I think that some of the times things sound really good, but then how do we monitor those and how do we enforce that? And I'm especially concerned if there's someone who needs to be part-time for a child, for a senior elderly person that they need to care for, and yet maybe they would like very much to be able to serve on a board. I realize that would you'd wonder if they'd have the time to do that if they had the other obligations. But at the same time, they might before the end of the 5-year period have an opportunity to serve on a board with time commitment, and yet would be precluded from doing that. So I have a real trouble with the full time element of it.
Senator Morrison.
Well, I too have a problem with that because I think if a person is a staff person at a teaching college, that should qualify them as well. So I have a problem with the full time. Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I clarify what amendment is going to be drawn up?
Well, what I would suggest was Senator Starr's wished amendment. Yeah. Let's have two separate amendments drawn up, one to deal with each issue, and then we can discuss them at length, and we would be prepared to go ahead with whatever decisions we made that way rather than having to bring it up a third time possibly. So
let me clarify again that the First Amendment will address full-time continuously, and the Second Amendment would be the two-term limit on board members. Is that correct?
Yes. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll have those drawn up and circulate them to the association, to the board, and to NMEI, and anyone else that you can think of.
All right, Kyle, would you come up and deliver your
whatever it is you're going
your
to
verdict on this decision, and then we'll schedule it at a time that the amendments have a chance to be drawn up, and also other input can be brought to bear if that's necessary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Art Kyle, representing the Association of Naturopathic Physicians. Yes, I think you've chosen the right course here. I think the amendments, I will take them back to the association, get a position by the executive committee of the association on them, and then bring that to when you have your final work session. I think it's appropriate.
What is the membership of your association?
It's less than a couple hundred. I'm thinking it's about 125, but I wouldn't want to say that as a firm fact because, of course, the House is making a signed statement over there.
So it looks like both of your groups have a lot of people riding on your coattails.
There are a number of the 585 who are licensed in Oregon but practice in another state, a state that doesn't have licensing. So it increases the number of actual graduates. But I will run this by. I was not aware of the.
I'm sure there's quite a few professions that have that where people hold dual licenses and that kind of thing too. So. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to start increasing our workload here. I'm not getting any good out of my committee.
Wait a minute.
it's hard to know. We meet 2 days a week and have a potential 2 hours of committee here, and here we are done in a little less than an hour. So maybe it's good for our break-in process, and I'm sure some of the major 28 problems and things that we have, we've all got time that we could spend in our office to get things down here. So I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 164, and we've instructed staff to get the two amendments
and the amendment for 162
and the one amendment for 162, and we'll do that, and we'll try to bring those issues up both at the same time so we can keep from you from having to make extra trips down here. I'm not sure what the schedule is for amendments. I think they're probably struggling right now just to get bills drafted, and so we may be a short period of time before we get to that, but we'll try to give you maybe a little more notice than what we gave this time for our next committee meeting, and I apologize for that, but we got to start someplace, and the legislative session starts off immediately, and that's been the funny thing that I've observed through the years. Everybody will have a bill, and they're very concerned about getting it. Oh, don't put me first, or we need 2 weeks till we get going here, and so we've made our start, and we're on the way, and thank you, committee members, for your faithfulness, and we're adjourned.
Thanks.
Okay.